Nope, still didn't have it. If I'm honest, I'm a bit more of an indoor girl.
Well, then you'd love whites,
he said with a laugh.
I only get out when I have to.
Excuse me? White's boy and I turned to the newcomer. This one I knew.
I'm sorry, Your Highness, but I was hoping I could steal you away for a moment.
Certainly, Holden. I took his arm. Nice talking to you, I said to White's boy, who looked a bit forlorn.
I hope that wasn't too rude of me, Holden said as we wandered away.
Not at all. We moved slowly, and he seemed comfortable, like he'd walked with a princess dozens of times.
I don't want to keep you. I only wanted to tell you that I admired the way you cut people last week.
I was taken aback.
Really? Absolutely. I admire a woman who knows what she wants, and I like that you're assertive. My mother is the head of a lab back in Bankston. I know how hard it is to run something that small, so the pressure you must be under is hard for me to imagine. But you do it well, and I like that. I just wanted you to know.
I stepped back. Thank you, Holden. He nodded, and I walked away, lost in thought. This entire situation only confirmed what I knew to be true. If I came in sweet and gentle, no one would take me seriously. If I had kindly tapped people on the shoulder and hugged them on their way out, would Holden have admired me less? The whole thing was,
oh!
I fell to the side, only missing the ground because of a pair of steady arms.
Your Highness.
Hale clutched my arms, helping to pull me up. I'm so sorry, I didn't see you. I heard the click of a camera nearby and pushed my cheeks up into a smile. Laugh, I said through my teeth.
Huh?
Help me up and laugh it off, I giggled, and after a moment, Hale gave a few chuckles.
What was that about?
He kept the smile on his face. I straightened my dress as I explained. The camera crews are watching. He glanced to the side. Don't, I urged, and he faced me again.
Yikes. Are you always on the lookout like that?
This time my laugh was genuine. Basically. His smile faded.
Is that why you ran away the other night?
My face became serious as well. I'm sorry, I wasn't feeling well.
First you run, and then you lie.
He shook his head, disappointed. No.
Evelyn?
He whispered.
That wasn't easy for me. I don't like talking about my dad dying or my mom having a hard time keeping a job, or my family losing our status. That was difficult for me to share. And when we started really talking about you, you left me.
That prickling, naked feeling came over me again. I sincerely apologize, Hale. He studied my face.
I don't think you mean that.
I swallowed, nervous.
But I like you all the same.
I looked up at him, mesmerized by that possibility.
When you're ready to talk, to really talk, I'll be here. Unless, of course, you come in and ninja eliminate me like you did those other guys.
I laughed awkwardly. I don't think that'll happen again.
I hope not.
Hale stared, and I didn't like that his eyes felt like they could dig several layers beneath my skin.
Glad your dress didn't get stained. Would have been a pity.
He went to leave, but I grabbed his arm. Hey. Thank you for being reserved on the report. He grinned.
Something every day, remember?
Chapter 18.
All right, Your Highness, whenever you're ready.
The makeup girl did a last check and I corrected my posture, reviewing the names in my head. I nodded, and the light on the camera turned red, telling me we were filming.
You've seen the extravagant tea party. You heard about the delicious food, and you saw all the breathtaking fashion. But who did you think should be eliminated? Yes, Sir Kyle looked somewhat less than manly in my tiara, and Sir Hale nearly swept me off my feet. In a bad way, I concluded with a grin. But after much deliberation, the two selected leaving us today are Kelsey Timber from White's and Holden Messenger from Bankston. How is your favorite doing? Dying to learn more about the remaining contestants? Hungry for more selection-related news? Tune into the report each Friday night for updates from me and the gentlemen themselves. And don't forget to look out for exclusive programs dedicated to the selection exclusively on the Public Access Channel. I held my smile a few seconds longer. Cut! The director called. Excellent. Sounded perfect to me, but let's do one more for good measure. Sure. When will this go out? They'll edit all the footage from this afternoon's party tonight and get it on air tomorrow, so this should be out on Monday. I nodded. Great. One more time? Yes, Your Highness, if you don't mind. I swallowed and went over my speech again before pulling myself up into the exact same pose. At 9:10, I heard the knock on my door, and I skipped over to answer it. Kyle was there, leaning against the doorframe, tiara in hand.
I heard you were missing this, he said jokingly.
Come in, loser. He passed through the doorway, looking around again as if I redecorated my room daily.
So, am I getting cut yet?
I grinned. No, it's Kelsey and Holden. Don't let that spill, though. I can't send them away until after the garden party airs.
That won't be a problem. Neither of them really speaks to me anyway.
No? I asked as he handed me my tiara.
I've heard they thought me being a part of the selection was unfair, and then seeing our kiss plastered everywhere sealed that opinion.
I placed the tiara on the shelf with the others. Made a good call then, didn't I? He chuckled.
Oh, I brought you another present.
I love presents.
You'll hate this one, trust me.
He reached into his pocket and pulled out that spectacular disaster of a tie.
I figured if you were having a bad day, you could take it to the garden and burn it. Get your aggression out on something that won't cry, unlike Leland.
I wasn't trying to make him cry.
Sure you weren't.
I smiled, taking the wound-up fabric from his hand. I actually really like this present. It assures me that no human will be forced to wear it ever again. Looking over at him, at his hitched-up smile, I was able to push away everything for a minute. It felt like the selection wasn't even happening just then. I was a girl with a boy, and I knew what I wanted to do with that boy. I dropped the tie on the floor and put a hand on his chest. Kyle Woodwork, do you want to kiss me? He let out a whistle.
Not shy at all, are you?
Stop it. Yes or no? He pursed his lips, pretending to think it over.
I wouldn't mind it.
And you understand that me kissing you doesn't mean I actually like you, and that I would never, ever marry you?
Thank goodness.
Right answer. I wrapped my hand around his head, pulling him to me. And an instant later, his arms were around my waist. It was the perfect balm for a long day. Kyle's kisses were direct and slow, and he made it impossible for me to think about much else. We toppled onto the bed, holding each other as we laughed.
Of all the things I thought would happen when my name was called, I never dreamed I'd ever kiss you.
I never dreamed you'd be good at it.
Hey, he said, I've had a bit of practice.
I propped myself up on my elbow. Who was your last kiss?
Katerina, when the Italian family visited in August, right before I left.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Kyle shrugged, not ashamed in the slightest.
What can I say? They're very friendly.
Friendly? I repeated, rolling my eyes. That's one word for it. He chuckled.
What about you?
Ask Aaron. Apparently, everyone already knows.
Laurent Troyes,
how did you find out? We lay there, laughing so much we were nearly crying. I played with a button on his shirt, and he twirled a piece of my hair between kisses, and the world shrank to just the two of us.
I've never seen you like this, he commented. I didn't know it could be so easy to make you smile.
It's not. You must be in rare form today. Kyle wrapped an arm around me and placed his face inches from mine.
How are you feeling? I know this has got to be a crazy time for you.
Don't, I whispered.
Don't what?
Don't ruin this. I like having you here, but I'm not in need of a soulmate. You can be quiet and go back to kissing me, or you can leave. He rolled onto his back, silent for a few minutes.
Sorry, just wanted to talk.
And you can, but not about you, not about me, and definitely not about you and me together.
But it seems like you must be lonely. How in the world do you deal with all this?
I huffed, standing and pulling him to his feet. If I need advice, I talk to my parents. If I need a friendly ear, I have Aaron. You were helping for a minute, and then you had to start with the questions. I turned him around and pushed him toward the door.
Do you realize how unhealthy that is?
He asked. Are you the model of adult behavior? You can't even get your mother to cut the apron strings. Kyle rounded back, staring me down. I was sure his anger was reflected in my face. I waited for him to scold me again, as he'd done 1,000 times growing up. But his eyes softened, and before I knew it, his hand was at the base of my neck, pulling me to him. He crushed his lips to mine, and I simultaneously hated and adored him for it. All I could think of was the way his mouth moved and how I seemed so fragile in his hands. The passion slowed until the kisses were so soft they tickled. When Kyle finally pulled away, he kept his fingers teasingly close to my hair, rubbing the skin absent-mindedly.
You're so spoiled, and you're so obnoxious. But I'm here.
With a final kiss, he opened the door and left. I gazed around my room, dizzy with confusion. Why was he trying to get me to open up when he clearly couldn't stand me? And I didn't like him either. Sometimes he could be just as bratty as Josie. I went toward my closet to get ready for bed and saw his ugly tie on the floor. I'd be doing everyone a favor if I threw it away now. Maybe I would set it on fire the next time I was having a particularly wretched day. For now, I tucked it into a drawer. My thoughts the next morning were a mess. I kept wondering what Kyle's goal was last night, and I couldn't shake off how it made me feel similar to when Hale asked too many questions. They were such different people with vastly different understandings of me, yet they'd both quickly figured out how to make me back away. Would all the boys be like that? Was that something they all knew how to do? Nina? I pulled the brush through my hair, trying to tame it as my maid walked behind me in the steam-filled bathroom, picking up the pajamas I'd left on the floor. Yes, Your Highness. She caught my eyes in the mirror as we spoke. I feel like it's been a while since we've talked about your boyfriend. What's his name again? A smile crept up on her face. Mark, why do you ask? I'm surrounded by a million boys. Just wondering how it is when you only have to deal with one. She shook her head at me. One boy on a string is a wonderful thing, she said, her happiness forcing me to smile along with her. He's doing great. He finally got into a university, and he's studying all the time. I get a call from him maybe once or twice a week. It's not much, but we both have pretty full schedules. I do need constant supervision, I said with a wink. Amen. Does he mind much? That you're far away and busy? She straightened the clothes looped over her arm. No, his program is very demanding, so for now it's actually helpful. I leaned my head to one side, continuing to brush. That's interesting. What's he studying?
Mark is a chemist. He's studying biochemistry specifically.
My eyes widened. Really? Such a range in your professions.
She frowned. There's no caste system anymore, Your Highness. People can date and marry anyone they want to.
I turned away from the mirror to look at her directly. That's not what I mean. It's simply intriguing to me, the dynamic you must have. You have my laundry in your arms, and he might cure a disease. Those are two incredibly different roles in the world.
Nina swallowed and dropped everything on the ground.
I won't be doing your laundry forever. I made a choice to come here, and I can leave whenever I like.
Nina?
I don't feel well, she said abruptly. I'll send someone else up to help you.
She didn't even curtsy.
Nina, I was simply talking.
The door slammed, and I looked after her, shocked that she so shamelessly left without permission. I hadn't meant to offend her. I was merely curious, and that one observation didn't even begin to touch on the things I truly wanted to ask about. I finished my hair and makeup on my own. When the substitute maid showed up, I sent her away. Just because Nina was in a bad mood didn't mean she could get out of her work. I could take care of myself, and she could clean tomorrow. I picked up the applications for the remaining boys in the selection. Whether I liked it or not, I knew what was expected of me. All I needed was to find situations that kept things as close to the surface as possible. Ian was certainly captivating, but his charisma was almost too overwhelming. I wasn't sure I was prepared to spend time alone with him. Edwin was harmless enough. I pulled out Apsel's sheet and looked it over. Nothing extraordinary there. I was tempted to send him home for being so bland, but after the reaction over the first elimination, I didn't think I could get away with that. Kyle's form came up next, but he was a no at the moment. Winslow was, I hated to say it, considerably unattractive. The more and more I looked at him, the easier it was to see. I didn't think I had a type, but he made me wonder if I had an anti-type. Ivan. Was this the guy who smelled vaguely of chlorine? Near the bottom of the pile, Jack Ranger's picture jumped out at me. I had caught him staring at me a few times at the party, but we hadn't spoken. I took that to mean he might still be intimidated enough for me to get through an evening together without him leaving me feeling as unpleasant as some of the others had. I wrote a note out on my stationery, inviting him to watch a movie with me tonight. That was an easy enough date. No unnecessary talking. I'd have a butler deliver it to him once Jack had joined the others. I was planning to always announce dates by sending a letter into or drawing the boys out of the room. That should make things interesting. I sped through breakfast, ready to work. Looking at these endless requests and bills and budgets and proposals wasn't exactly my favorite thing, but it kept me busy, and I liked having my mind occupied all day. My nights and weekends for the next 3 months would belong to those boys, but the rest of the time, I had a different job to do.
Edlin, dear, Dad said, taking a break for some tea. I didn't get to tell you, but I thought the garden party was a success. I saw some of the stories in the papers this morning, and it was very well covered.
I glanced at a few myself, and I caught a little of the special they did, and it all looked nicely done. I stretched in my chair, achy from sitting still. He smiled.
Indeed. I think you should try to do another event like that soon. Something with the group that people can see.
Something that might have an elimination afterward?
If you think that would help.
I walked over to his desk, pouring myself some of his tea. I think it adds something. Like, people might be more interested if their favorite might be on the line.
He considered that.
Interesting. Any thoughts on how it would be structured?
No, but I thought, since we're supposed to be looking for a prince here, it might be good to test them on the things they would need to know as a prince, history or policy. I think there's a way to make it playful, kind of like a game show, maybe. He laughed.
The public would eat that up.
I sipped my tea. See, I have great ideas. I don't need a prince.
Edlin, you could run the world on your own if you needed to. That's not the point,
he said with a chuckle. We'll see. Chapter 19. I stopped by Jack's room after dinner, and he was waiting for me outside the door. That was kind of strange, but I figured his nerves had gotten the best of him. Good evening, Jack, I said, approaching.
Your Highness,
he replied with a bow. You can call me Edlin. He smiled.
Great, Edlin.
There was an awkward silence as I waited for him to offer his arm. He simply stood there, his smile tight but his eyes animated. When I finally gave up on him figuring it out, I pointed toward the stairs. It's this way.
Super.
Then he started walking ahead of me, even though he didn't know the way. No, Jack, we need to turn here. I said the same thing maybe 3 or 4 times as we traveled, and he never apologized. He simply went where I told him, as if he'd been planning to go that way all along. I did my best to let his missteps slide. With a handful of boys already mentally lined up for the next elimination, I didn't want a reason to add Jack to that list. The palace went up 4 stories, but it went down much farther. The report was filmed on the sub-1 floor, and there was a storage area as well as the theater. The staff and guards also had rooms on the 1st and 2nd sub-levels, but their quarters weren't connected to the theater wing. There was also a monstrous safe room beneath all of that. I'd only had to go there twice that I remembered, once during a drill when I was 3, and once when the last string of rebels attacked us shortly after. It was strange to think about it. The rebels were gone, but now we were faced with different pockets of people fighting the monarchy. I almost wished the rebels still existed. At least we could put a name to that. At least back then we knew exactly who we were fighting. I shook my head, coming back to the situation at hand. I was on a date. As I remembered that fact, I chided myself. Dad would have wanted a camera here for this. Oh well, next time. So, I hope you like movies.
I do,
Jack replied enthusiastically. Good, I do as well. But it's not always possible for me to go out to the theater. We have access to a few new films downstairs, though our options are limited. Chances are, we'll have something good.
That's great.
It was strange, this fine line he was walking between being rude and polite. I wondered if he simply didn't know how many mistakes he was making. A butler had already made us popcorn, and I used the remote to scroll through our options. How about Eye of the Beholder? I suggested. The brief description hinted at romance and drama, as did the poster image.
That sounds okay. Any action in that one?
I don't think so. There is in Black Diamonds. The picture was dark and brooding, with the silhouette of a man with a gun off to one side. It wasn't something I'd have seen of my own volition.
Yeah, that sounds good.
We have other choices, I said, trying to make my way back to the menu.
But this is what I want to watch. It won't be too scary. And if it is, you can snuggle up next to me.
I made a face, wondering if I should have given Absol more consideration. The seats in our theater were wide and very soft. The only way I could snuggle up to anyone would be to squish myself into his seat, which was not going to happen. Also,
I'd rather be scarred for life than admit to being afraid. Then again, that wasn't what I was worried about with this movie. It simply didn't seem worth watching. I sighed, feeling a little overrun. Again, it was as if he wasn't aware of how foolish he was acting. I let it go, thinking I'd need to tell Dad that the boys as a whole required more etiquette training, and started the movie. Long story short, main guy's dad was killed by bad guy. Main guy spends his life tracking down bad guy, but bad guy slips from his grasp several times. Main guy sleeps with Super Blonde. Super Blonde disappears. Main guy kills bad guy, and Super Blonde shows up again. Oh, and some things explode. Jack seemed to enjoy it, but I was bored. If Super Blonde had killed someone, I might have cared a little more. But at least we didn't have to talk. When the credits rolled, I used the remote to raise the lights.
So, what did you think?
He asked, his eyes bright with excitement. It was okay. Definitely seen better. The movie seemed to leave him hyper-animated.
But the effects were incredible.
Sure, but the story was tired. He squinted his eyes.
I liked it.
All right.
Does that make you upset?
I made a face. No, it just means you have bad taste. He laughed, a dark sound that was more foreboding than friendly.
I love it when you do that.
Do what? I stood and took my popcorn bowl to the counter, leaving it for the staff.
I've been waiting all night for a little of your attitude.
Excuse me?
I've been hoping you'd get mad or snippy.
He brought his bowl over too.
When you cleared out the men's parlor the day after the parade, that was great. I mean, I don't want to go home, but I wouldn't be devastated if you yelled at me.
I stared at him. Jack, you do realize we've hardly spoken to each other, and in the first conversation we have, you reveal that my anger turns you on. Do you see how this might be a lapse in judgment on your part? He broke into a smile, undeterred.
I thought you'd appreciate my honesty. I have the feeling you get irritated easily, and I want you to know that doesn't bother me. I actually like it.
Jack reached for my hand and I ripped it away. You thought wrong. This date is over. Good night. He caught up to me, grabbing me again. I didn't want to admit how scared I was, but I could feel the icy strands of fear pulsing through my veins. He was bigger than me, and he seemed to enjoy a fight.
Don't run off, he said silkily. I'm only trying to tell you that I think I could be a good fit for you, an easy match.
He ran his fingers down my cheek and under my jaw. His breathing was speeding up, and I knew I couldn't waste time. I had to get out of here now. I squinted my eyes. And I'm only trying to tell you that if you don't remove your hand, you will be dead before you could be a match for anyone.
Hot.
He smirked, seeming to think I was enjoying this.
This is a fun little game.
Let me go. He loosened his hand, but I could still see the wild excitement in his eyes.
This was fun. Let's do it again soon.
I went for the stairs, praying he wouldn't chase me. From this second forward, there would be cameras on every single date. When I made my way breathlessly to the first floor, I found a pair of officers and ran straight to them.
Your Highness,
the first gasped as I fell into his arms.
Get him out of here,
I insisted, pointing toward the stairs.
Jack, get him out of my house.
The guards let me go, sprinting to capture him, and I cowered on the floor, petrified.
Edlin?
Just behind me, Aaron was approaching. I let out a cry and bolted into his embrace.
What happened? Are you hurt?
It was Jack, I stammered. He grabbed my arm,
He touched me.
I shook my head, trying to understand how it escalated so quickly, only then seeing it hadn't been fast at all. He was often watching me, never approaching, quietly biding his time. Even tonight, his moves were slow, watching my rising frustration with a reserved thrill of energy, enjoying the building tension until the moment of release. He kept saying strange things, and the way he looked at me, Aaron, I've never been so scared. We both turned at the uproar coming up the stairs. The two guards were wrestling with Jack, getting him up to the landing. Once his eyes fell on me, he began snarling.
You liked it, he insisted. You were coming on to me.
Grabbing my hand, Aaron pulled me over to Jack. Though my instinct was to run in the other direction, he planted me right in front of Jack's face.
Knock his lights out, Edlin, Aaron commanded.
I stared up at him, thinking it was a joke, but the rage in his eyes told me otherwise. I was tempted. I couldn't retaliate when people called me names or criticized my clothes. I couldn't go back to the parade and tell all those people how foolishly they'd acted. But here, for once, I could take revenge on someone who'd truly wronged me. I might have done it if it wasn't for Jack's wicked grin, like he hoped I would, like he'd dream about the touch later. Sex and violence were connected in his head, and to give him one was close to giving the other. I can't, I whispered. Jack gave a fake pout.
You sure, sweetie? I wouldn't mind.
I'd never seen Aaron throw a punch before. It was almost as shocking as Jack's limp body after my brother's fist forced his head to whip back at an awkward angle. Aaron grunted, holding his hand.
Oh, that hurts! Ow! That really hurts!
Let's get you to the hospital wing, I urged, pointing Aaron down the hall.
Your Highness, should we take him with you?
I looked at Jack's limp form, noting the rise and fall of his chest. No, get him on a plane, conscious or not. I piled into Aaron's bed with him on one side and Caden on the other. Aaron was flexing his wrapped fingers, which were badly bruised.
Does it hurt?
Caden asked, seeming more excited than worried.
A little, but I'd do it all over again in a second.
I smiled up at my twin, so grateful for him.
If I had been there, Caden started, I'd have challenged him to a duel.
I giggled as Aaron reached across me to ruffle his hair.
Sorry, buddy, it all happened too quickly for me to think of that.
Caden shook his head.
All those years of sword fighting lessons for nothing.
You were always better than me anyway,
Aaron said, as Austin came in without knocking, a phone to his ear.
If only you had practiced more,
Caden chastised. Austin landed on the bed, chatting into the phone.
Yeah? Yeah? Okay, hold on.
He turned the receiver away and looked to me.
Edie, where was that Jack guy from anyway?
I tried to remember his form. Paloma, I think? Caden nodded.
It was Paloma. Awesome.
Austin spoke into the phone again.
Did you hear that? I'll be in touch.
He hung up and slid the phone into his pocket as we all stared at him. I laughed. I'd usually try to stop whatever you're doing, but I'm not even going to ask.
I think that's for the best.
I looked around at all my brothers, so caring and smart and puckish. So many times I'd hated them for not being older than me, for forcing me into a role I never wanted. Tonight, maybe for the first time, I loved them for exactly who they were. Caden was distracting. Aaron had defended me. And Austin, well, he'd help in his own way. Austin had left the door open,
and Mom and Dad walked in to find all their children together. Mom seemed happy to see her family safe, but Dad was shaken. He put one hand on his hip and gestured with the other.
Everyone okay?
Slightly spooked, I admitted.
And a little bruised,
Aaron added. Dad swallowed, taking us all in.
Edlin, I'm so sorry. I don't know how he slipped through the cracks. I thought the applications were vetted and I had no idea.
He stopped, looking as though he was close to tears. I'm all right, Daddy. He nodded, but didn't speak. Mom stepped forward, taking over.
We'd like to put some guidelines in place. Perhaps have a guard nearby on any dates from here on out, or have all dates in a public area.
That, or have photographers. I think that would help, too. I cursed myself again for not remembering earlier.
Excellent idea, sweetie. We want to keep this safe.
Which reminds me,
Dad said, under control again.
How do you want to proceed with Jack? Should we cover this up? Press formal charges? Personally, I'd like to tear him limb from limb, but that's really up to you.
I smiled. No charges. But let's not cover it up. Let everyone know exactly what kind of man he is. That will be punishment enough.
Very wise,
Aaron agreed. Dad folded his arms, considering.
If that's what you want, that's what we'll do. I've been told he's on his way home now, and that will be the end of it.
Thank you. Dad put his arm around Mom, and they turned to leave, Mom taking one last look at all of us.
By the way,
Dad said, glancing over his shoulder.
While I agree with the sentiment behind throwing him out without seeing if he regained consciousness, if he had died, that would have looked really bad.
I pressed my lips together, but I knew my eyes were smiling. Fine. No more carelessly tossing people out through the gates.
And more sword fights,
Caden yelled. While Aaron and I laughed, our parents shook their heads.
Good night. Don't stay up too late,
Mom warned. And we didn't mean to, but we did end up talking for a long time. I eventually fell asleep with Caden's back pressed against mine, Aaron's arm under my head, and Austin holding on to one of my feet. I woke early the next morning, well before the others, and smiled at my brothers, my protectors. The sister in me wanted to stay, but the princess in me got up and went to prepare for the new day. Chapter 20. While we sat at the breakfast table the next morning, I found myself looking over the boys, searching for signs that anyone else might be like Jack. I kept thinking that if I'd paid more attention those first few days, I'd have been able to see there was something off about him. Then my eyes passed over some of the others I'd gotten to know, like Hale and Henry. Even Eric's presence was a welcome one. After meeting them, I couldn't let one boy make me fearful of all the others. And in truth, I really didn't have the privilege of being fearful. So I pulled myself together, remembering who I was. I couldn't run scared. As the meal drew to a close, I stood, commanding their attention. Gentlemen, I have a surprise for you. In 15 minutes, please come meet me in the studio for a little game. Some laughed and others clapped, but they didn't know what was waiting for them. I almost felt bad. I left the room before them, going to make sure my dress and hair looked right for filming. Shortly thereafter, the boys filed in, all of them seeming a little stunned by the set. I sat in front, a bit like a school teacher, while they each had a stool with a paper and marker and a large, cartoonish name tag like the ones I'd seen on TV game shows. "Welcome, gentlemen," I sang, Please come find your seat.
The cameras were already rolling, capturing the nervous smiles and confused head shaking as they found their places and stuck on their tags.
Today, we're having a pop quiz on all things Ilia. We'll be discussing history, foreign affairs, and domestic policies. When you get an answer right, one of the maids standing by, I said, motioning to the ladies waiting in the wings, will come and put a gold checkmark sticker on you. Get one wrong, and they'll bring a black X. The boys chuckled with excitement and anxiety, looking at the basket of stickers.
Don't worry, this is all for fun. But I will be using this information to help decide my next elimination. If you get the most wrong, it doesn't mean you're automatically out, but I'm watching, I teased, pointing a finger at them.
First question, I announced. This is an important one. When is my birthday?
There were several laughs as the boys bent their heads, scribbling answers and peeking at their neighbors' answers.
Okay, hold up your signs, I ordered, and gawked humorously at the range of dates.
Kyle, of course, knew it was April 16th, and he had plenty of company. But there were only a few who knew the year as well.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and give this to anyone who got April at all.
All right,
Fox called enthusiastically, and Lodge and Calvin high-fived in the back. The maids crossed the stage, and boys who got an X wailed comically, but took the stickers without sulking.
Here's one with lots of potential answers. Who would you consider Ilia's greatest allies?
Some correctly guessed France, Italy, and New Asia, while Henry held up Swendway, followed by several exclamation points. Julian's sign had several arrows drawn up to his face and had me written in large letters. I pointed at him.
Wait. What does that even mean? I asked, trying to suppress a smile.
His grin was huge as he shrugged.
I just think I'd be a really great friend.
I shook my head. Ridiculous. But I didn't think I came off sounding as reproachful as I meant to. A maid raised her hand on the side of the stage.
So does he still get an X, or?
Oh, that's an X, I assured her, and the boys chuckled, even Julian. Most correctly named August Ilia as Dad's partner in eradicating the rebel forces, and they all knew the history of the Fourth World War. By the time we got to the end, I was pleased that the majority of them were so well informed.
Let me see. Who has the most checks?
The maids helped me count across the rows, which was very efficient, since they had handed out the points.
Hale has 6, so do Raoul and Ian. Bravo, gentlemen.
I clapped, and the others joined in before realizing what was next.
Okay, and now, who has the most X marks?
The maids quickly pointed to the back corner, where poor Henry was covered with black.
Oh no, Henry,
I yelled with a laugh, trying to communicate how little stock I took in the game. I really had hoped to weed out someone this way, but I knew Henry's lack of information came from living in the country for only a year, or a misunderstanding of the questions in translation.
Who else do we have?
Burke and Ivan. Not too terrible.
They had each done pretty badly, but still had 3 correct answers over Henry. At least it confirmed my lack of excitement over Ivan.
Thank you all for indulging me this morning, and I will keep this information in mind as I continue to narrow down suitors in the next few weeks. Congratulations on being so intelligent.
I applauded them, and they patted one another on the back as the cameras powered down.
Before you go, gentlemen, I have one last question, and it comes from some very recent history, so you all had best get it right.
They nervously murmured among themselves, ready for the challenge.
If you know the answer, feel free to just shout it out. Ready? When is it acceptable to put your hands on me without my permission?
I stared at them all,
stone-faced, daring a single one of them to laugh. They exchanged glances with one another, but it was only Hale who was brave enough to answer.
Never,
he called out. That is correct. You'd all do well to remember that. Jack Ranger was let off easy, with nothing more than a punch to his face from my brother and the shame of his ejection. If another one of you attempts to touch me without my consent, you will be caned or worse. Are we clear? The room was still. I'll take that as a yes. I walked away, hoping my words would linger after me. The game was over, and they couldn't be left doubting that. After lunch, Dad was a little late getting into the office, which was rare. So I was alone when Lady Bryce came knocking on the door. Your Highness, she greeted. Is your father not here yet? No, not sure what's holding him up. She tidied the stack of papers in her arms, thinking. I really needed to speak with him. Lady Bryce looked so young sometimes. She was much older than me, of course, but not quite Dad's age. I never really knew what to make of her. Not that I disliked her or anything, but I always wondered why she was the only woman Dad worked with. Anything I could help you with? I offered. She looked down, thinking it over. I'm not sure how widely he'd want to share this information, so I don't think so, sorry. I smiled, knowing she meant it. No problem. Lady Bryce, can I ask you a question? You're very smart and kind. Why haven't you ever married? She giggled a little. I am married. To this job. It means a lot to me, and I'd rather do it well than seek out a spouse. I rolled my eyes. Amen to that. I know you understand. And the only people I ever get to see are the other advisors. And I don't think I'd want to be in a relationship with any of them, so I'll just keep working. I nodded. I respect that. I think people assume women aren't happy without a husband and children, but you seem quite satisfied. She shrugged. I think about it. I might adopt one day. I do think motherhood is an honor, and not everyone does it well. The hint of bitterness in her tone made me think she was referring to her own mother, but I didn't want to ask about specifics. I know. I'm fortunate to have such a wonderful one. She sighed, melting a little. Your mom is a natural. In a way, she was like a second mother to me when I was younger, and I learned a lot from her. I squinted. I didn't realize you'd been around the palace that long. I tried to remember if there was a time when I hadn't seen her in the hallways. Though I'd never paid much attention to the advisors until I hit 13 and started working with Dad in earnest. Perhaps I simply didn't notice. Yes, miss, I've been here almost as long as you, she replied with a laugh. Your parents are far too generous. 18 years was a long time to hold a position in the palace, especially as an advisor. Dad switched most people in and out every 5 to 8 years, based on recommendations and the mood of the country. What kept Lady Bryce in her place for so long? I studied her as she swept her hair over her shoulder and smiled. Had Dad let her stay because she was attractive? No. I felt guilty for even thinking Dad could be capable of being that shallow or selfish. Well, I'm sorry I can't help you, but I'll tell Dad you came by. Thanks, Your Highness. It's not terribly urgent, so there's no rush. You have a good day. You too. She curtsied and left, and I watched the door long after she was gone, curious about this woman I'd apparently known all my life without realizing it. I shrugged it away, turning back to my papers. Between the selection and work, there was no room in my head for Lady Bryce. Chapter 21. Dinner that night was pleasant, because I could tell the boys had learned from Jack's mistake. They all sat a little taller as I entered, nodding their heads as I passed, and I sensed that, once again, I'd regained control. Dad looked a little calmer as well, though I could tell he hadn't quite let go of all his worry. Aaron leaned across the table to give me a conspiratorial wink, and it was almost like this terrible thing had made life a little better. Dad had suggested that I try to make conversation with the boys at dinner, but calling out over all those people felt rude. I didn't think I could do that, at least not in a way that felt natural. I knew that, even with what I'd gone through, I was expected to get back out there. Instead of talking, I looked at my options. Of all the boys left, Ian struck me as the most intimidating. Not because he seemed violent in any way, but because of that constant pride and calmness that hung around him, like an earthquake couldn't make him move if he didn't want to. So maybe going out with him next would conquer a fear in some way. There was no way he was as impervious as he seemed. We'd simply need to do something in the open and make sure the photographers came. As if he could read my thoughts, Ian looked up at me at that very second, and I turned away, pretending to be engrossed with my brother. I noticed Caden was reading a newspaper beneath the table. "What's that article about?" I asked. He answered without looking away, like he was trying to finish his day's work before the end of dinner. "A collection going around in an area in Midston. They're raising money for a girl to go to art school. She's talented, but she can't afford to study on her own. She says, hold on, here it is. 'I come from a line of threes. My family thinks it's beneath me to study art, even though the castes no longer exist. It's hard. I remind them that the queen was born a five and she's brilliant. They won't pay for my schooling, so I'm asking for help to pursue my dreams. Look at the picture of her paintings. They aren't bad.' I grew up with a deep appreciation for art, and while her work wasn't an aesthetic I particularly cared for, I could see she was talented. 'They're good. It's so silly. The point of getting rid of the castes was so people could have the choice of whatever profession they wanted, and they're not even using it. It's almost like they don't want it to work. Setting up a system to allow something doesn't mean people will do it.'
'Obviously,' I commented coldly, sipping my drink.
'The key is to make them understand that. Do you remember Mom showing us those old history books and how the United States had that paper?' He paused to think of the name. 'The Declaration of Independence. And it said the people were allowed to pursue happiness, but no person making that document could actually hand over happiness.' I smiled. 'You're too smart. I take that as a compliment, but last week you were caught kissing Kyle in the dark.' 'Oh, ha, ha, ha,' I said, tempted to stick out my tongue at him. 'It's not like my opinion ever mattered much anyway. Are you going to marry Kyle?' I nearly choked.
'No.'
Caden laughed wildly, making most of the room look our way. 'I take it back,' I said, dabbing my lips. 'You are a singularly gifted idiot.' I stood, flicking Caden's ear as I passed.
'Hey.'
'Thanks for being there for me, Caden. You're a great brother.' He rubbed at his ear, still grinning.
'I try.'
Marry Kyle, I thought, doing my best not to burst out laughing again. If he could continue to be discreet, the chances of me kissing Kyle again were very, very high. But I couldn't imagine actually being married to him. I wasn't sure I could imagine being married to any of these boys. I wasn't sure I could imagine being married at all. I slowed, looking at some of their faces as I passed. What would it be like to fall asleep next to Hale? Or to have Baden slip a ring on my finger? I tried to picture it and couldn't. I remembered Aaron mentioning that some of the selected asked him if it was possible I liked girls, but even thinking about that made me laugh. I knew that wasn't what was stopping me from genuinely being able to connect with a boy, but I sensed now that something was. It wasn't simply a desire to be independent. There was a wall around me, and I wasn't completely sure why.
But wall or no wall, I'd made a promise. When I got to Ian, I paused.
Mr. Cable.
He stood and bowed.
Yes, Your Highness.
Do you ride horses?
I do.
Would you like to accompany me on a ride tomorrow? A wicked glint came into his eye.
I would.
Excellent. See you then. I chose to wear a dress and do the whole thing side saddle. It wasn't my favorite way to ride, but I thought a touch of femininity would add to the purpose of the afternoon. When I walked out to the stables, Ian was waiting for me, saddling his horse.
Ian,
I called as I approached. He lifted his head and waved. He was very handsome, the kind of person I thought people expected to see next to me. Every action of his was controlled, and I was determined to match him and not let myself be anxious.
Are you ready?
He asked. Almost. I need to grab my saddle. I walked past him into the stalls.
Is that what you're going to wear?
I whipped back around. I can do more in 10 minutes wearing this dress than most men can do all day wearing pants. He laughed.
I don't doubt it.
Butterscotch was at the back, in a slightly wider stall than most of the others. A princess's horse deserved some space and a good view. I prepped her and walked back to Ian. If you don't mind, we're going to take some photos in the garden first.
Oh, no, that's fine.
We took our horses by the reins and walked them around the garden. A man with a camera was there, snapping shots of the sky or trees as he waited. When he saw us, he came over.
Your Highness, he greeted, shaking my hand. I'm Peter. I thought it'd be nice to get a few pictures of the two of you together.
Thank you. I petted Butterscotch. Where do you want us? Peter looked around.
If you can put the horses by a tree, I think a couple of shots in front of this fountain would look nice.
I let go of Butterscotch, knowing she wouldn't run. Come on, I said warmly. Once he had tied his horse to a branch, I took his hands. Peter wasted no time. Ian and I smiled and looked shyly away from each other, and this little walk was documented in pictures. We stood in front of the fountain, sat against a shrub, and even took a couple of pictures in front of the horses. When Peter announced that would be plenty, I nearly threw my arms up in celebration. He walked off rather quickly, grabbing his bags and double-checking his camera. I looked around, and as promised, we weren't completely alone. Guards lined the palace walls, and a few workers moved around the grounds, tending the grass and paths. Here, Butterscotch. I walked up to her, and she flicked her tail. Ian masterfully mounted his horse, and I was happy that he was as competent as he'd led me to believe.
Forgive me, but that seemed a bit staged,
Ian said, as we trotted toward the edge of the lawn. I know, but allowing them to capture staged moments means that I get to keep the candid moments private.
Interesting. So, was that scene with Kyle staged or private then?
I smirked. Wow, he was quick.
Last time we spoke, it sounded like you had something you wanted to talk about.
I reminded him.
I do. I want to be honest with you, but that will require you being completely honest with me. Can you do that?
Looking into his face, I wasn't sure I could give him what he asked for. Not today. That depends.
On?
Many things. I don't tend to divulge my soul to people I've only known 2 weeks. We trotted on for a few minutes in silence.
Favorite food?
He asked, a satisfied smile on his face. Do mimosas count? He chuckled.
Sure. What else? Favorite place you've ever visited?
Italy. Partly for the food and partly for the company. If they come here, you have to meet the royal family. They're too much fun.
I'd like that. Okay. Favorite color?
Red.
Power color. Nice.
He stopped quizzing me for a moment and we continued on our path around the palace. It was kind of peaceful. We passed the front gates, and the gardeners stopped their work and bowed as we went by. Once we were out of their hearing, Ian brought his horse closer to mine.
I could be very wrong, but I'm going to take a guess at some things about you.
Go ahead, I dared. He hesitated.
Hold on, let's stop over here.
Along the palace wall, there was a lone bench, and we pulled up to it. I hopped off Butterscotch and sat on the small space with Ian.
Your Highness.
Edelin.
Edelin.
He swallowed, showing the first chink in his super-confident armor.
I get the feeling that the selection isn't something you truly wanted to do.
I said nothing.
If it was, perhaps it's not what you thought it would be. And now you're in a situation you don't particularly like. Most women would die to have dozens of men at their beck and call, but you come across as distant.
I smiled kindly. I told you, I don't open up to people I just met. He shook his head.
I've seen you on the report for years. You seem above something like this.
I inhaled deeply, unsure what to say.
I come to you with an offer. You may not need it at all, but I want to present the option all the same.
What could you, sir, offer to your future queen? He smiled, seeming sure of himself again.
A way out?
It was risky to ask what he meant, but I couldn't help being curious. How?
I would never hold you down. I would never hold you back. I wouldn't even ask you to love me. If you choose me, you can have a marriage free of conventional restraints. Make me your king, and you would be free to reign however you see fit.
I brushed out my dress. You would never be king. He tilted his head comically.
Not your type.
I rolled my eyes. That's neither here nor there. Any man who married me would never be king. He would be a prince consort, as no one can hold a title higher than mine.
I'd take that.
I leaned on the arm of the bench. Out of curiosity, why make such an offer? You're very charismatic, quite handsome. I'd assume you could have a marriage filled with happiness, which makes me wonder why you would commit yourself to one you just admitted would be loveless. He nodded.
That's a fair question. Personally, I believe love to be overrated.
I couldn't help but smile.
I come from a large family, 6 children. I've managed to scrape by, but I don't want to live that life forever. The chance at a comfortable life with an agreeable woman is better than anything else I can hope for.
Agreeable? I raised an eyebrow. Is that it? He chuckled.
I like you. You are yourself at all costs. I certainly don't consider marrying a clever, beautiful, powerful woman settling, and I can offer you the means to an end, if you find no one suitable in this group. Honestly, I can tell you, the majority of these guys are jokes, and you can give me something I've never had.
I considered. So far, the selection hadn't been anything I'd expected. It had opened with people assaulting me with food, complaining about my first elimination, and judging my kiss with Kyle. Even though I was just figuring out that, for me, there was something inherently unappealing about getting married, I couldn't help but wonder if I'd take someone, simply for the sake of making Dad happy. Every time I looked into his eyes, I was more and more aware of how tired he seemed. I loved my dad, but I also loved myself, and I would have to live with me much longer.
You don't have to say yes or no,
Ian said, drawing me back to the moment.
I'm simply saying that I'm here, if you need me.
I nodded. I can't say if I'll even consider it. I stood. For now, let's continue our ride. I don't get to see my butterscotch nearly enough. And we did ride for quite a while longer. but Ian didn't speak much. It was comfortable in a way not to be burdened with the need to make conversation. Ian would take my silence gratefully. I wondered if that could last, if he would eventually tire of that kind of life. For the time being, I studied him. Handsome, proud, straightforward. His confidence didn't hinge on my approval, and I knew I wouldn't worry about receiving his. I could possibly be married without actually feeling like I was. He might be a very attractive suitor indeed. Chapter 22. I sent Ian in shortly thereafter, and he didn't protest at all. Maybe proving right away that he would be as compliant as I needed him to be. It was certainly an interesting proposition, though I'd have to get much further along in this process before I could even know if I'd need to use it or not. Too soon, I had to get ready for dinner, so I put butterscotch away and took a brush to my boots. I wasn't terribly dirty. "Night-night," I whispered to my horse, slipping her a piece of sugar before heading back to the palace. "Edlin," someone called as I entered the palace. It was Kyle. He was talking with Henry, Eric, Fox, and Burke. He gave the others a sign to wait for him and jogged down the hall to me.
"Hey,"
he said, his crooked smile settling on his face. He looked a little nervous. "How are you?"
"Good. I was talking with some of the guys, and we have a proposal for you."
I sighed. "Another one?"
"Huh?"
"Nothing." I shook my head to clear it. "Should I come speak to them now?"
"Well, yeah, but I wanted to ask you something first."
"Sure." Kyle stuffed his hands in his pockets.
"Are we okay?"
I squinted.
"Kyle, you realize you're not actually my boyfriend, right?"
He chuckled.
"Yeah, I do, but I don't know. I liked having someone to show my designs to and laugh with, and I wanted to come check on you after I heard about Jack, but I was afraid you wouldn't want to talk about it. Then I was afraid that staying away would make you upset too. Do you know how difficult you are?"
"I'd forget, but you keep reminding me," I teased. Kyle fidgeted.
"I'll ease up. But seriously, are we okay?"
I watched as he bit his lip, and I had to fight myself from daydreaming about them. He said he was here for me, so I hoped, maybe, I'd get to feel those lips again.
"Yes, Kyle, we're okay. Don't worry so much."
"All right, come over here. I think you're gonna like this idea."
We turned and walked down to the cluster of boys waiting. Henry immediately kissed my hand.
"Hello today,"
he greeted, making me laugh. "Hello, Henry. Burke, Fox. Hi, Eric."
"Your Highness," Burke began. "Maybe this is out of line, but we were thinking that this election is a very challenging time for you."
I chuckled. "You have no idea." Fox smiled. He and Burke looked a little comical next to each other. Burke was so burly and he was so lean.
"It has to be crazy. You have your work to do, and then you need to find time to do solo dates or try to get around to everyone at a party. It seems exhausting." "So we had an idea,"
Kyle said.
"Could the four of us do something with you this week?"
This was completely brilliant. "Yes," I exclaimed.
"That would be great.
Any ideas on what to do?"
"We were thinking about cooking together."
Burke's face was so happy I couldn't say no, even though that was exactly what I wanted to do. "Cooking," I said, a fake smile plastered on my face.
"Come on," Kyle urged. "It'll be fun."
I exhaled nervously. "All right, cooking. How about tomorrow night?"
"Perfect,"
Fox said quickly, like he was worried I'd change my mind. "Okay, Thursday, 6 o'clock. I'll meet you in the foyer and we can walk to the kitchens together." This was going to be a nightmare. "If you'll excuse me, I have to get ready for dinner." I headed upstairs wondering if there was any way to make this better.
I doubted it.
Nina,
I called, walking into my room.
Yes, miss.
Can you start a bath? I need one before dinner.
Certainly.
I wrestled with my boots and flung off my dress. Besides the simple giving and responding to orders, we hadn't spoken much lately. And I had to admit, it was hard on me. My room was my retreat, the place I rested and sketched and hid from the world. Nina was a part of that, and her being upset with me set everything off kilter. I walked into the bathroom, happy to find that she was dropping pieces of lavender into the tub without me asking. Nina, you're a mind reader.
I try, she said slyly.
I moved cautiously, not wanting to anger her again.
Have you heard from Mark recently?
It seemed she couldn't help her smile.
Yes, just yesterday.
What did you say he studied again? I slipped into the warm water, already feeling better.
Biochemistry.
She looked down.
I admit, he uses plenty of words I don't understand when he tells me about it, but I get the idea of what he means.
I wasn't trying to imply I thought you were stupid, Nina. I was curious. I thought that was obvious. Biochemistry. Something about that rang a bell. She sighed and dropped more lavender into the bath.
It came out much harsher than that.
There are boys here from very different walks of life than mine. I can hardly stand to be in the same room with some of them. It was intriguing that the two of you do such varied jobs and still manage to share common ground. She shook her head.
We work. It's not something you can figure out on paper. Some people are meant to be together.
I leaned back in the tub. If there was no way to explain anything, then why bother? I thought again of Ian's offer and Kyle's worry and Hale's questions. I couldn't believe how murky everything had become. I barely understood my own feelings anymore. I knew I wanted my independence, and the idea of any man coming up behind me trying to fix my work or do it for me was unacceptable. Then I thought of Dad's gray hairs, slowly mixing in with the blonde, and wondered how far I'd go to make his life easier. It was strange. Basically, every boy downstairs was an option, if I really had to choose one. And each of them could easily hurl my world into a new trajectory. I didn't like that. I wanted to be in charge of my path. I wondered if that was the reason for putting a fence around myself, if it was the worry that anyone who crossed it would take away my control. But maybe that control was an illusion. Even if I passed on all the selected boys, would someone eventually come along and make me not even care about control? Would he cause me to hand it over willingly? It seemed impossible, something I certainly couldn't have imagined happening a few weeks ago. There were still plenty of reasons to keep my guard up, and I knew I would. Still, I didn't think I'd be able to ignore the way these boys were affecting me much longer. Chapter 23. I waited nervously in the palace foyer. I wasn't sure about what I was wearing. What did people wear to cook? Or how to fake expertise in the kitchen, or how to dispense attention evenly among four suitors. And while I knew having a photographer there was both good for publicity and personal safety, the idea of someone documenting this night did not make me feel any less jittery. I pulled at my shirt, which was rather plain in case I got dirty, and touched my hair, making sure it was still in place. The clock showed the boys were 4 minutes late, and I was getting antsy. Just as I was about to send a butler to fetch them, I heard the echo of voices in the hallway. Kyle rounded the corner first. Burke was right beside him, clearly trying to buddy up to the alleged leader of the pack. Fox was with Henry, both smiling quietly. Not far behind, Eric walked with his hands tucked behind him. His presence was necessary, but I sensed he felt a little out of place as the sole non-participant in a group date. Kyle rubbed his hands together.
You ready to eat?
Eat? Yes.
Cook? We'll see how that goes.
I tried to hide my worry with a smile, but I think Kyle knew.
So is it true you two have known each other your whole lives?
Burke asked. It was so abrupt. I didn't know how to respond.
Trust me, you've got the better end of the deal.
Kyle replied smoothly, elbowing him in the ribs. It's true, I confirmed. It's like Kyle said on the report. I never considered him boyfriend material until I was forced to. He's like family. Everyone laughed, and I realized how true that was. It annoyed me whenever Josie told people she was like my sister, but I did know both her and Kyle better than I knew my cousins. The kitchen is this way, I said, pointing past them to the dining hall. The staff knows we're coming, so let's go cook. Kyle shook his head at my fake enthusiasm but said nothing. We walked to the back of the dining hall and rounded a partition. There was a wide dumbwaiter the staff used to bring up carts of food next to a stairwell that led to the main kitchen. Burke rushed to my side quickly, offering his arm as we traveled down the wide steps.
What do you want to cook tonight?
He asked. I wondered if my face showed my shock. I really thought someone else would be providing the ideas.
Oh, I'm kind of up for whatever,
I hedged.
Let's make courses, Kyle suggested. An appetizer, an entree, and a dessert.
That sounds good,
Fox agreed. Eric piped up from the back.
Henry and I will do dessert, if that's all right.
Sure,
Kyle answered. I could smell the dinner that was being prepared for the rest of the palace. I couldn't pinpoint everything, but there was a delicious hint of garlic in the air, and I suddenly had a new reason to hate this date. I had to postpone actually eating. In a low-ceilinged room, a dozen people with their hair pulled back tightly or tucked under scarves were running around, tossing vegetables into pots of steaming water, or double-checking the seasonings of the sauces. Despite the fact that there was still a meal to finish preparing for everyone in the palace, the staff had cleared half of the space for us to use. A man in a tall chef's hat approached us.
Your Highness, will this be enough room?
More than enough, thank you. I remembered his face from a few weeks ago when he'd presented me with the sample ideas for the first dinner. I'd been so annoyed at the time. Mom did most of the choosing, and I hadn't even thought to thank him. Looking around and seeing how much work was going into a single meal, I felt ashamed of myself.
Misa pidat hiva?
Henry asked politely. My eyes went to Eric, who spoke up.
Pardon me, sir, but where do you keep your yeast?
Fox and Burke giggled, but I remembered what Eric had told me once and what was crudely worded on Henry's own application. He was a cook. The chef waved Henry down, and he and Eric followed him closely, trying to chat. The chef was clearly excited to have someone with some experience in the room. The other boys, not so much.
Okay, so let's go see what's in the fridge.
Fox hesitantly led the way to one of several large refrigerators along the wall. I looked at the organized contents, parchment, wrapped meats, labeled in pencil, the four different types of milk we used, and the various sauces or starters prepped and stored ahead of time, and I knew I was way out of my league. I heard a click and turned to see the photographer had arrived.
Just pretend I'm not here, she whispered cheerfully.
Kyle grabbed some butter.
You always need butter, he assured me.
I nodded. Good to know. Burke found a pile of something on the counter. He turned to the chef.
What is this? Phyllo paper. You can make dozens of things with that. Melt some of that butter and I'll get you some recipes.
Kyle gave me a face.
See? How do we want to decide who works together?
Burke asked, obviously hoping I'd simply go with him.
Rock, paper, scissors?
Fox suggested.
That's fair.
Kyle agreed. He and Fox went up against each other first, and though no one said it in one way or the other, they knew the losers would be stuck with each other. Kyle beat both Fox and Burke. Fox took it in stride, but Burke had no talent at masking his emotions. The two of them picked an appetizer to make together.
asparagus wrapped with prosciutto and phyllo, while Kyle and I were left staring at some chicken, trying to figure out what to do with it. So what's step one? I asked.
I cooked plenty when I was away in Finley, but I need a recipe at least. I bet those books would help.
We walked over to a cupboard that contained dozens of cookbooks. Most of them had markers hanging in multiple places, and there were piles of note cards next to them with more ideas. As Kyle flipped through the pages, I played with the jars of herbs. The kitchen made me think of what a scientist's lab would look like, only with food. I opened some, inhaling them or feeling the texture. Smell this, I insisted, holding up a jar to Kyle.
What's that?
Saffron. Doesn't it smell delicious? He smiled at me and went straight to the back of the book he was holding.
Aha,
he said, turning forward to find his page.
Saffron chicken. Wanna give that a try?
Sure. I clutched the jar in my hand like it was my big contribution to the night.
All right, saffron chicken. So let's preheat the oven.
I stood next to him, staring at the buttons and dials. Probably the ovens in normal people's homes didn't look like this, but this massive industrial setup seemed like it might launch a satellite if we touched the wrong thing. We looked at the stove like it might give us some instructions if we waited long enough. Should I get more butter? I asked.
Shut up, Edlin.
The chef walked past and mumbled,
Dial on the left, 350.
Kyle reached over and turned it as if he knew what to do the whole time. I glanced toward Fox and Burke. Burke was clearly acting as their leader and loudly giving orders. Fox didn't seem to mind at all, laughing and joking without being obnoxious. They peeked back over at us several times, Burke sneaking in a wink now and then. Past them, Eric and Henry were working quietly, with Eric doing a minimal amount of labor, only assisting when Henry asked for it. Henry's sleeves were rolled up, and he'd gotten some flour on his pants. And I kind of loved that he didn't seem to care about it. Eric was a little messy himself, and he didn't bother wiping any of it off either. I looked at Kyle, who was buried in the cookbook. I'll be right back.
Sure.
As I walked away, I heard him quietly try to get the chef's attention. Looking good, boys, I said, pausing by Fox.
Thanks. This is actually kind of soothing. I never cooked much at home. Nothing like this anyway. But I'm looking forward to trying it.
Fox's hands stuttered for a moment, trying to find his rhythm again.
This will be the best asparagus you've ever had, Burke promised.
I can't wait, I replied, moving to the far end of the table. Eric looked up, greeting me with a smile.
Your Highness, how's our dinner looking?
Very bad indeed, I promised. He chuckled and told Henry the state of our poor supper. Their hands were covered in dough, and I could see bowls of cinnamon and sugar waiting to be used. This looks promising, though. Do you cook as well, Eric?
Oh, not professionally. But I live on my own, so I cook for myself. And I love all the traditional Swedish foods. This is a favorite.
Eric turned to Henry, and I could tell they were talking about food, because Henry was alight with excitement.
Oh, yeah. Henry was just saying there's this soup he has when he's sick. It's got potatoes and fish and... Oh, I miss my mother just thinking about it.
I smiled, trying to imagine Eric alone trying to master his mother's meals, and Henry in the back of a restaurant already having conquered every recipe in his family's memory. I kept worrying that Eric felt like an outcast. He certainly worked to separate himself from the selected. He dressed differently, walked at a slower pace, and even carried himself a little lower. But watching him here, interacting with Henry, who was too kind for me to dismiss, I was so grateful for his presence. He brought a little piece of home to a situation twice removed from Henry's idea of normal. I stepped away, allowing them to work, and went back to my station. Kyle had collected some ingredients in my absence. He was dicing garlic on a wooden brick next to a bowl of something that looked like yogurt.
There you are, he greeted. Okay, crush those saffron threads and then mix them in the bowl.
After a moment of blank staring, I picked up the tiny bowl and mallet I assumed was meant for thread crushing and started pressing. It was a strangely satisfying exercise. Kyle did most of the work, smothering the chicken with the yogurt mix and throwing it in the oven. The other teams were at various stages of prep as well, and in the end, the dessert was ready first, followed by the appetizer, and our entree pulled up the rear. Realizing belatedly that Kyle and I should have made something to go with our chicken, we decided to use the wrapped asparagus as a side, all laughing at how poorly we'd planned this. The whole lot of us crowded around one end of the long table. I was sandwiched between Burke and Kyle, with Henry across from me and Fox at the head. Eric was slightly removed, but still clearly enjoying the company. Honestly, I was too. Cooking made me nervous, because it was totally foreign to me. I didn't know how to cut or sauté or anything, and I despised failing or looking foolish. But the majority of us had limited experience, and instead of it becoming a stressor, it became a joke, making this one of the most relaxed meals I'd ever had. No formal place settings, no assigned seats, and since nearly all the china was in use for our very full house, we were using plain plates that looked so old, the only reason they could possibly still be here was sentimentality.
Okay, since they were supposed to be the appetizer, I think we should try the asparagus first, Kyle insisted. Let's do it.
Burke speared his asparagus and took a bite, and we all followed. It appeared the results were inconsistent. Henry nodded approvingly. But mine tasted awful. I could tell Fox's was bad as well, based on his poorly concealed grimace.
That is the worst thing I've ever tasted, Fox said, trying to chew. Mine's good, Burke said defensively. You're probably just not used to eating such quality food.
Fox ducked his head, and I gathered something I wouldn't have known otherwise. Fox was poor. Can I try a bite of yours? I whispered to Henry, using my hands and happy to find he understood without Eric's help. Do you mind? Fox replied quietly, and I pretended to be too focused on the food to hear him. And Henry's piece actually was much better.
Who's to say it's not because of your cooking? Well, maybe if I had a better partner, Burke snapped. Hey, Kyle insisted. There's no way yours could be worse than ours.
I giggled, trying to break the tension. I could feel Burke's anger like an actual, physical thing hanging in the air, and I wanted nothing more than to return to the relaxed feeling we had when we'd sat down. All right, I said with a sigh. I think the first thing we need to do